Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, and they are trying their hardest, believe me. I'm going to open up the show today by telling you that we are no longer on YouTube. We will no longer participate in that fascist, globalist, communist, scumbag, scummery that exists at YouTube. I wouldn't give them another damn dime of my money, of my interest. We have been... we have been dressed down by YouTube. You know, we did have a quarter of a million subscribers, down to 175,000 through wholesale backing off of subscriptions of just unsubscribing blocks and blocks and blocks. All right. And every time that our videos would run on YouTube, of course, that would generate revenue for YouTube. Well, you'd think that they would want to keep that going. Of course, you would think that. But the Trump derangement syndrome, the globalist communist scumbaggery, they, you know, capitalism kind of comes second to their communist ideology. So, therefore... this morning at, just after 7 o'clock this morning, I received a notice from YouTube that they accused us of engaging in scamming and deceptive practices. And, we're not going to be featured on there anymore. Of course, they didn't tell us what scamming or deceptive practices in which we were allegedly engaged. They, removed some of our content. And said you can't post or you can't stream for at least 14 days. Next time it'll be permanent. You see, they've been looking for reasons to take us down, to shut us up. Well, we're not going to play that game anymore. I'm not going to play whack-a-mole with these morons. And if you don't think, and let me explain this just one last time. I came out years ago. I said, this would happen to you. I told you this was going to happen, and it's happening. I told you to believe when they tell you that they're going to do everything in their power to take you down. Believe them. That's exactly what happened, and we will be on Rumble. Maybe you're watching it on Rumble right now. I don't know. Eric the Tech, I'm not sure. I know we're on Brighteon. I know that we're backed up on our own servers. So, where this is coming from, I don't know. The video part that is. Audio, no problem. Multiple platforms. But, the war is on. We are fully engaged. And as I said, you know, you take away one's, oh, there we are. Okay. Thank you, Eric the Tech. You didn't hear that over the air. He said, look at the screen, the preview screen. There it is on Rumble. We can't be silenced. Now Eric the Tech is a brilliant guy. He's my son-in-law, but he's a brilliant guy. So, there are the previous videos, I believe. I can't see from... Okay, so four previous videos there. Now, the YouTube channel is still open. And undoubtedly, invariably, I'm going to get people who will say, oh, we missed you. What happened? Can't find you. I've been telling you for a year. Bookmark HagmanReport.com for program descriptions and links. And you know what? I can't come to your house and take your hand and put your hand on the keyboard. I just can't do that. If you think I'm irritated and obnoxious right now, I am.
Just look at the top banner on our YouTube channel.
There it is.
Directs you right where to go.
Okay. So, there it is. Look, look on your screen.
You have an X on your mouth, Doug.
And you know, there are a lot of people that want to put that X on my mouth. And judging by a couple of emails I got, there are a lot of people who want to put that X in the form of crosshairs elsewhere. So, you know, look, folks, they are coming for you. I don't know how else to tell you this. When you look at history, what the progressive communist left have in store for you, for us, you better understand it's a real thing. There are times in history when the entire paradigm that you're accustomed to living under, the order of things, it changes. And it changes rather quickly. And the change is for good. Look today at what is happening, oh, I don't know, in Michigan. Oh, my goodness. I think it was, is it Michigan that's got the 10 o'clock curfew? Or Ohio. Ohio's got the 10 o'clock curfew. And that's coming elsewhere. That's going elsewhere. That's coming into Pennsylvania. So we must have a very smart, very intelligent coronavirus up to 10 o'clock, you're okay. But after 10, somebody rolls out that virus and attacks you. Look, I know that's not the case. And I know what the stated reasons are. But this is all about control and conditioning of the American people. And the question is, are you going to sit back and take it? Are you going to, is, if you are going to sit back and wear the mask, walk into the store, because I don't want confrontation. You know what? I can't help you. If you're not going to stand up for yourself, I can't help you. But one thing for certain is if you are going to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I am going to open my restaurant. I am going to open my store. To hell with your mandate. If everyone did that, they couldn't get us all. The problem is half of the American population is so friggin' brainwashed. They'll believe anything. You could tell them that there's a snowstorm in Miami on August 10th. Maybe there is a snow, just not that kind of snow. You know, a regular snow. And they'd believe you. I'm telling you right now, I don't believe in my, looking at history, looking at everything I've seen in history, there's no coming back from where we're at. The last time that we were living in times like this was back in World War II, and we were living the same kind of paradigm now. The most significant challenge that you and I are going to be faced with, I believe, when confronted with these moments of, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to defy or are you going to comply? We have to remain focused. We have to remain emotionally stable. We can get angry with righteous anger. We can get very angry, but we have to channel that anger appropriately. I am not, by the way, I am not backing down. And I don't suggest any one of you do either. I don't suggest anyone give in. But this is about something much bigger. You know, yesterday's show with Randy Taylor, and the first hour we were talking about what are we missing? Well, that segment which is available. If you go to HagmanReport.com, click on the banner on the top. You can go right to it. It's on Brighteon. I left up the video from YouTube saying that violated the standards, terms of service. But what I'm telling you is this. We have to look. I guess let me just back up and say this. We have to fight. Richard Proctor is my guest, coming up shortly here, just momentarily. I'm so pleased that he's allowing me this time just to communicate with you. A lot of things happened in the last 24 hours. Tracy Beans, a dear friend of mine, dear friend of the program, you know that, she spoke at the rally in Washington, D.C. She is a leader on social media. She's a leader in on various shows. She's got her own show. She's the founder of UncoveredDC.com. Her house burned down yesterday, burned down to the ground. Well, not to the ground, but total loss. She suffered a house fire yesterday, lost everything in the house fire. I brought this up only to say, please keep her in your prayers. It's been a challenging 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours. It's been a challenging year and a half, actually. But keep her in your prayers. I just wanted to make sure I said that before I forgot or before it, you know, got too late. But, with respect to what's going on elsewhere, I should say, the fact that we're not playing whack-a-mole, as I said, anymore with YouTube. YouTube can, I don't care. But I'm not going to give them one more dime. I mean, I'm not going to upload one more program to that, squalid, communist, fascist, platform. I'm about done with Twitter. I'm on Parler. Facebook? No, forget about it. Forget about it. But what we're looking at here is we know what's happened. Every time we've reached this point in history, we know what's happened. I'm going to tell you right now, we have been through, this platform has been through so many things. It's just hard to really outline. You know, we've been hit with suits and threats of suits and lawyers' bills and you know, a constant barrage of attacks, death threats, items in the mail that you really wouldn't want to receive, items in the mail that you certainly wouldn't want your wife or secretary to open. Because of our position, whether it's on because of our positions, where we state that a marriage is between a man and a woman who become a husband and a wife, that homosexuality is not normal. It's a mental illness. Transgenderism, we have no place for. See, we don't tolerate that because we've tolerated that for too long. We as a society have tolerated that for too long. But this is all part of a bigger plan. And the bigger plan is to take God out of our country, completely out of our country, and to, and to destroy our society, destroy our way of life, destroy everything that's normal. Call what is abnormal normal. And then take the people who advocate what is normal, what is accepted, and isolate them. Identify, what was that? Steve Quayle has talked about it. He's going to be joining me tomorrow. Steve Quayle will be joining me tomorrow. But identify, vilify, nullify, and destroy. That's been the tactic. I mean, it's simple as that. Today we're faced now with half the country fully in support of President Donald Trump, the other half in support of a piece of paper mache that's being held up by, I don't know, a few strings and a stick. It's being kept in a basement somewhere on ice while the other component of that, the vice president, the woman who thinks she's going to become vice president might be in for a very, Interesting surprise. You know, pee pads and knee pads, as I like to call them, that duo. You've got people who are saying, oh, finally, now back to normal with these two. You got an old guy that can't find where he parked his car in a parking lot of one vehicle, talking to the backs of Jeeps for stunts, for PR stunts.
Hello, Jeep.
Hello, Jeep.
It's a nice name you got.
Yeah. Wranglers and Patriots and what else? All the different models. But
I'll get a Big Mac meal with a sweet tea.
Talk in the mouth, Joe. Talk in the clown's mouth.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. You know, the thing. All right. But look, we are looking now at a nation of states that cannot, we're looking at, number one, a population that is so viscerally divided. And I use that word deliberately. So divided that I don't see any way that there's no negotiating with people that have been so brainwashed, so ideologically, brainwashed, literally brainwashed. Their brain has been washed by this constant barrage of media, mainstream media lies and assertions. You watched yesterday, perhaps, Zuckerberg and Dorsey, what is that guy, Dorsey? The necromancer with a, or the, you know, the guy with the necromancer type beard. Lie after lie after lie after lie. No, we're not censoring anything. No, we're not censoring anything. Hey, it's right here though. Mr. Dorsey, it's right here. Oh no, we're not censoring anything. And then Zuckerberg, apparently he can't remember crap. Apparently he doesn't pick up a newspaper, turn on a television, look at his own, Senator, did you ever notice that? He's asked a question. It's either yes or no friggin' question. Well, Senator, shut up! It's either yes or no. I'm tired of it. You know, I'll tell you what. I understand, Alex Jones. The answer to what we're going through right now is 1776, period. You're damn right it is. And every one of us it must be engaged in this fight. You can't sit this one out any more than than you could have sat out the Khmer Rouge, Pol Pot, name the genocide in Rwanda. This is what they want to do to you. And you better be damn sure when they say we're putting your name on the list, you better be damn sure that you understand, yes, your name is going on a list. And it's not a Christmas list. It's a list. It's a list of enemies. It's a list of people that they want to re-educate. And if they think you're too old or too stubborn to be re-educated, then they are going to kill you. Is there any question? Do you have any question? All right. I'm done. I'm to the point where if you watch the videos of people of these purple and green and blue-haired goon squads out there with the rings through their noses and eyeballs and ears and, you know, skin tattoos everywhere and running around and beating up old people, elderly people and innocent people and scaring the hell out of mothers and children and beating them with chains and bats while the police look on. You know what my answer to that is? This is my personal answer to that. Is a .44 caliber Smith & Wesson Model 29. You take, what, 5-6 of them out? I guarantee you will see the rest scatter. And you might say, oh, that's against it. You'd be arrested then. You know what? then so be it. But I'm not going to sit by, stand by, and watch my wife, my child, my grandchild, or even Eric the Tech for that matter, get his, you know, get beat up by these people. I am so angry right now. But what's coming, we're not going to be able to stop. The clock's ticking to, and I'm going to segue right now into Dr. Richard Proctor. And again, thank you, Dr. Proctor, for your patience, but I'm going to segue right into the fact that the clock's ticking toward, the certification of votes. And if the votes can't be certified by the secretaries of state, then of course, something else happens. We have to look at the Constitution. Saving the Constitution is the book. Yes, I still, in spite of everything that's going on, I still recommend buying books and reading books, because with that, you gain knowledge. One of the books is Saving the Constitution. And I've talked about this before, weekly. I talk about this all the time. I make reference to this all the time. In fact, the other day on the show, we were talking about something and I referenced Saving the Constitution. Here it is right here. If you don't have your copy, please get it. Go to provisinstitute.com. But the electoral clock is running, or the timetable for the constitutional clock is running. They have to certify the votes, and then of course the Electoral College meets, and hey, if the votes aren't certified, what happens? Well, the answer is in this book. What happens? It's in the Constitution, but it's explained very well in this book. It goes to the state legislatures. And wouldn't it be something if the state legislatures would have to pick electors? The electors would then be represented, you know, one elector per state. So that means you only have to have a 26 majority, because there are 50 states, 26. So 26 going before the House of Representatives and voting for Donald Trump. And, you know, can you just imagine that sour look on Nancy Pelosi's face? Do you think she would be able to bang that gavel and say, yep, okay, votes, okay, thank you, certified, bang, 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 right? Do you think that'll happen? Huh? Saving the Constitution. It's in the Constitution. I won't keep it waiting any longer, Dr. Proctor. In fact, you can take the rest of the show if you want. Because I'm pretty much just so angry that, I'm tired of being a punching bag. Okay. I really am. And I know that sounds like, you want some cheese with that wine, Doug? Okay. I know that's what it sounds like. Call a ambulance. I get all that. Okay. I get it.
Yeah. But you know, if you don't do it, nobody will know. You got to do these things, Doug. Got to. Wow. Yeah. Look at, I got a sunburn today. Anyway, I don't know where these colors come from.
We don't either.
I've been out in the sun watching things down in Miami. By the way, I heard you say that there's snowstorms in Florida, so I got on the Weather Channel to see it, and I was very disappointed it wasn't there.
Well, see, that means that you just can't trust anybody these days, can you?
Yes, right. You can't do it. Oh, Doug, you've really opened this show with stuff to talk about.
My job.
I'm going to go right to a core item if everybody wants to know about it. There's a guy in Germany who's an attorney who is licensed to practice in California and Germany, of course. He's a German trial lawyer. His name is Rainer Fulmich. I can't say it. It's German. He is following up on his announcement of class action suits against perpetrator of what he calls the hoax. Summarizes the main charges that he says easily will be proven through a process discovery and witness cross-examination in court. He will prove that whatever is causing the symptoms attributed to this disease causes no more hospitalization or death than the seasonal flu. The commonly used PCR test is incapable of detecting COVID. The sole purpose of the testing is to generate large numbers false positive results that can be called cases, which will frighten the population into passively accepting vaccines and restructuring of our society without question. You know, folks, that's exactly what's being planned. Right this minute, you've been wearing masks, and I'm talking to an audience that says they want to not do that, but they do it anyway. You'll be wearing masks because they're telling you to wear masks. Then you'll be locked down in your homes You'll be not allowed to drive. I'm under the impression that something's going on with the health departments that are going to lock down travel. Not the businesses, not the rest of the travel. I don't know what it means. Okay, but if you want to have something to help you fight this thing, get this information. Again, I've got another item to send out. Lawsuit against the perpetrators of the hoax. It's a 51-minute video that gives the details of how to do this.
Wow. I didn't know that. That makes me happy because this is being exploited. Look, you know, the flu's out there. We all get the flu once in a while. I haven't had the flu in a long time.
Not this year. Nobody got the flu this year.
That's right. That's right. I forgot
we've
the
had
flu's
a cure
canceled.
For the flu. We've cured the flu.
Yes, we have. And yes, I think it's because of you.
I'll have to take the blame. We have cured automobile accidents. We've cured heart attacks. Yeah. We have cured everything there is. Because you see, the deaths aren't any greater than they ever were. So since all of these things are COVID, we must have cured all these other things. Isn't that exciting? People look for a wonder drug. They watch for science fiction shows to see a wonder drug. Oh boy, a wonder drug. They don't have to look for that. It's existing right here today in our society. And we're wearing masks to prevent ourselves from getting the wonder drug. Wow. That's a stupid thing to do. That's like wearing masks to prevent yourself from getting oxygen. You want the wonder drug because it will cure everything you've got wrong with you. It's been proven. You don't need a study. My father-in-law just passed away. We're very concerned that it's going to be from not the diseases he's had for years, not from the problems, not from his diabetic, not from his amputations, but from the COVID-19. Wow. I just know he'll be, I just know it'd be that. Wish we could have had the cure for him so that he wouldn't have had that disease and he wouldn't have passed away because nothing else does it. I'm not being facetious. This is absolutely true. Everything I say is true. Absolutely. Ask the media. They only tell you the truth. They never say anything wrong. Oh, my laws. Anyway, lawsuit against the perpetrators of the hoax. And if we can stop the hoax, we can stop the lockdowns. We can stop the travel. We can stop all this garbage. But you gotta stop the hoax. But the problem now is that it's not just governors. It's health departments. Aha, we're all armed. Why do these people think they have the power to do these things? Because the governor said they could. But the governor doesn't have power to do it either. But none of you know that because you don't have the book to teach you the Constitution. And right now, Doug, you just said a minute ago that you wonder if it's still necessary. It is more necessary today than it was yesterday or January or last year. Because you can't do anything if you don't know what it is to do. You can't do it. I've tried to teach that concept. You can never fight anything you don't know anything about. You can't do it. If you want this Constitution saved, you must know it so that you can stand up for it. If you don't want it saved, don't get the book. Oh, don't bother, because you won't read it anyway. So if you buy it, just put it on the shelf. It's worthless. So don't do that. I mean, come on, guys. Pay attention. This is a very important book. You may find it going international and national here in the next few days more than it's ever been done before. I've been trying to get it out. Other people are now getting on board. You've got to have this book. But you know there's a problem. I mentioned this year a few months ago that you better get it before the post office won't send it anymore. That problem seems to have gone away. Now the problem will be that you can't print it or have it because it's banned.
Yes. Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, do not think that that's hyperbole, because they're starting, or they, meaning the communist globalists, are starting to, we've seen books banned that talk about transgenderism being a problem, a mental problem. We've seen books banned that discuss the Constitution, and that's at some higher learning colleges and universities. You're right. We have to worry about your book being banned, like the Bible would be.
Yes, it will be. Here's a thought, Doug. Just think about this. I'd just like the audience to tell me, not tell me, just think to yourself, how many of you have seen Song of the South? And if you haven't seen it, can you get a copy?
Okay.
It was bad. It's a Walt Disney movie.
Don't know.
You wouldn't think a Walt Disney movie would be banned, but it is. You can't buy a copy in this country.
Wait a minute.
I have one. I got it from Japan. It has Japan subtitles.
Song of the South?
Song of the South. Okay. You can't buy it.
Why not? Can I ask in my Hillary Clinton Southern voice, why not?
Because it has slavery in it, and the slaves were treated as slaves.
Oh, heavens no.
Although they were treated nicely, but it has slavery. I'm surprised you can still get Gone with the Wind. I'm surprised that's still available. Those things are banned. Song of the South is gone. You can't buy it. It's an excellent book. Everybody knows the song, Zippity-Doo-Dah, but nobody knows where it comes from because you can't have it anymore.
Wait a minute. You mean Zippity-Doo-Dah, Zippity-Yay?
Yay, yep. Oh, my, what a wonderful day. You know the song. You can't have the movie. You can't have it. It's not legal. It's been banned.
By who? Banned by who? Says who? Banned by who? I want to know. Zippity-Doo-Dah.
You really want me to say this over the air? If the people don't know who banned it, when it has slavery in it, then they don't understand what's going on in the world, and they need to start over again, reset.
I think we could, wink, wink, nod, nod. I think we know. Yes. Wow.
I have a copy, by the way.
Well, pretty soon.
I found a copy in Japan.
Okay, wait a minute. I gotta take your name and address down because I gotta send the SWAT team in there. You've got a contraband.
Throw it out. Yes. That's what happens too, by the way. Yep. There'll be somebody that'll turn it in. You gotta go get rid of that. He's got something that's banned. That's exactly what will happen to my book, Saving the Constitution.
I believe that.
The day isn't far away. You want this book? Get it. By Jove, you must get it now.
Yes. And that's something. Over the last week, I've thought about this, and every single day I've had something happen to suggest that there will be a ban on information, specifically books and videos. Well, videos, go figure. But books especially. And yes, you won't be able to get that if for some reason, ungodly reason, and I mean that's literally that Biden would get the presidency. I'll tell you what, you've got about 90 days. And we all have about 90 days.
Yeah, that's about right. But you've got to learn a lot of stuff in those 90 days or you won't be prepared. If you don't learn it, you're not prepared. Oh, you don't want to buy books. You got to learn stuff. Got to read books. I don't read books. I don't read a book. I don't read anything. Tight waste of time. Waste of time. I'll just watch what goes on.
I just grab myself a copy of the Constitution. I know it. I don't need anything. I don't need to tell me what it says. I'll just grab a Constitution.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yep. No. Wow. Yeah. And I got to say this, because I was reading this, this past weekend between our visits, and, there was one place it's in my office copy. I marked because what something the Constitution I thought meant didn't mean what I thought it meant. And you explained it. And so I took that and I went to the Liberty series, which is right here. And, I found out more about what you were talking about. And if I can remember what it was now, I tell you, but it was just fantastic how all of this is interconnected. Saving the Constitution and Liberty series, ProvisInstitute.com is where to get it. ProvisInstitute.com. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, I'm tickled to death that you do this kind of stuff. By the way, treason. We have a lot of people talking about treason today. The very first step in treason is, do we have a war? You think we don't? Then you haven't got up yet this morning, or any day in the last year, you haven't gotten up. Treason is rampant in our country. Sedition is rampant in our country. What kind of treason? Treason, let me read you what the 1828 dictionary says here. 1828 dictionary. Well, let me see. Maybe I'm not going. Yes. Here's the, in the United States, it actually says it that way. Treason is confined to the actual levying of war against the United States or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. You see, the sentence is actual levying of war. So if you don't have a war, you don't have treason. You have felonies. You have people that are lying and cheating and stealing and stuff like that, but you don't have treason. So the question is, do we have a war? Is anybody shooting at anybody? They are, aren't they? They're shooting at the police. Oh, that's not a war. What do you mean that's not a war? That's sedition. That's insurrection. That's a war. We have a war. This war has been going on for a little bit longer than this year. Major assault on our freedoms in this war started in 1913 with three things, major things. This war began, didn't begin there, but the battleground was really set and they began winning. What first was the 16th Amendment, where they stuck us with taxes. The next was the 17th Amendment, when they took the senators away from the House. So this from the states. So in other words, the senators no longer represent the states. So they have no representation at all. We have no representation at all either. Yes, I do. I vote for a House of Representatives every time. No, you don't. You vote for a person who's going to go to Washington and then close the door and you'll never see him again. Or if you do see him, it will be all canned, properly done, properly conditioned. The 17th Amendment capped any representation from us at all. The House and the states have no representation, period. The people have no representation because, you see, the number you're supposed to have for representative is 30,000. Now it's over 750,000. You cannot represent 750,000 people. Therefore, we have no representation in the House. And we don't have it in the Senate either. Okay? Those two things were taken away from us. The first one a little earlier than 13, the second one in 1913. Then the crowning glory here, they put a banking system that steals money from us every day. It does everything it can to destroy our society using economics to do it. But you don't know anything about economics. So of course, that's too complicated. You don't want to know that. You don't understand that a diamond is worth more than sand because there's more sand than there are diamonds. You don't understand that. So you don't know anything about economics. I understand. Bottom line, folks, our country is at war. And we've been at war for decades, but now the last, maybe the last, battle is being fought. If we don't do something, it will be the last battle that's fought. So when they tell you, you got to wear a mask in your car, you got to wear a mask to talk, you know, there's a law in Massachusetts and in Utah that says when I'm talking on the computer to somebody else, I got to wear a mask. I might get sick. Got to wear a mask. And there are people doing it. There are people driving in their cars wearing masks. Got to do it. Got to do it. I see people jogging outside wearing a mask.
Not to be crude, but not that either one of you or me would know about this, but when you're having sex, you've got to wear a mask too. I'm just saying, you know, that's part of the rule.
That's part of the rule. You got to wear it. You can't have anybody in your home except your family, and maybe not even all of them, because you're all going to get sick. All this stuff is not about a disease, you stupid people. This is about control of your lives.
I'm glad you said that.
This is about throwing you in a concentration camp. Canada's getting ready to do it. They're building isolation camps right as we speak. And if the people won't do what they say, they're going to put them in a concentration camp. I read the notes from the Strategic Planning Committee chaired by the Prime Minister of Canada. They're doing it. They're not waiting for a disease. They're setting up, we'll have the disease at this point. We'll do this on this point. These are not things that they're worrying about, whether it's there or not. They're just going to have these things happen. Just like here in Utah, we're using this PCR test. Oh, look at all those cases. Oh no, shut down the state. Oh, stop it all. Guys, if you don't do something, you won't have anything to do anything about.
Good statement.
You won't have it.
Profound.
You won't have it. If you want to know what your life's going to be like, go get the movie Dr. Zhivago and watch it clear through. Don't worry about, oh, it's a long movie. Yeah, it is a couple hours long. Don't worry about, oh, well, you know, get it, watch it. Then you can see what your future is going to be. Yes, you can see your future in that movie. If you don't watch that movie, you won't know your future. But I guarantee you, if we don't do something about it, our future is right there in that movie, portrayed 100%.
You know, if I may, Dr. Richard Proctor, of course, ProvisInstitute.com, if I may, Dr. Proctor, I have a chart. This is a chart of coercion, which is drawn from the Biderman Report on Communist Brainwashing Techniques, which was used by, oh, the Chinese and North Koreans on captured American servicemen to make them psychological as well as physical prisoners. It's on your screen. I don't know if you can see it. I know it's difficult for me to see mine, but on the left is the chart of coercion, and on the right is COVID-19 or the Chinese Wuhan virus. Isn't it interesting how it all correlates? We're being brainwashed and manipulated. And this all goes back to the Chinese and North Koreans. There it is. I mean, without further explanation, it'll be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But there you go. And that's something. That's what you said.
I think you're absolutely, this is good. People can see these things. Did you know that the communist layout plan was read into the congressional record back in the 50s?
1963, actually, by Representative Herlong. Yes.
Yes. Their plan is read. Now, I want you to take that plan. By the way, I've done that in one of my books. I've taken that plan side by side. Anyway, I want you to take that plan and think about that plan and compare it with our society today. Compare it. If you want to have an interesting fiction book to read, get the hold of the book of Philip Drew Administrator. Not tough. Philip Drew, Administrator. Read that book. Easy book to read. Comfortable. Nice fiction. Sounds good. Then I want you to watch what happens to the United States in that book. Now I want you to sit down and think about what's happened in the United States and the world that are laid out in that book. And that was written in 1910. And it's laid out today. You can see it today. You can get it. It's not expensive. I'm sure you can buy it, use somewhere. You know, it's not tough. That's the Bible that Wilson used so that he could do his, I shouldn't say the Bible. I should say that's the book Wilson used during his administration to lay out things like the League of Nations and stuff like that. Oh, by the way, if you want to really have interesting things, look at a lot of pictures of Wilson as he walks around and tells people and goes in his carriage. There's a gentleman sitting right next to him all the time. That gentleman is named Edward Mandel House. He's the author of Administrator, Philip Drew Administrator. He made sure he was the helper of Wilson to make sure he did all the things he was supposed to do. He was the helper of Wilson to make sure that the 1913 Federal Reserve Act was passed and signed. He was the instigator, the helper to make sure it happened. He sits right there and guides Wilson. Oh, and that's not the only time. Now I want you to get a hold of Nixon. I want you to get a hold of Kissinger. And you'll find Kissinger sitting in the office with Nixon or sitting around with Nixon regularly making sure he did what he was supposed to do. Yep. Yep. That's how it goes, guys. That's how it goes. You can get Bush Jr.'s. Now, Bush Jr. was never a member of the CFR, never was. But there's a picture of him with all of his cabinet, and every member on his cabinet is a member of the CFR. That's a coincidence, isn't it? He wasn't, but every member was. How about that? He was in the Yale University Skull and Bones organization, along with Kerry, who was his running mate. No, that's not the right term. The running mate's the vice president. No. The two of them were running mates. Kerry and Bush. Well, Bush got in, Kerry didn't. Doesn't make any difference to the CFR guys. They were both selected by the CFR to run that year. Didn't matter who won. It didn't matter who won. The Electoral College at Pratt House chose them each, and they were there, and they ran against each other. It didn't matter who won. They got what they wanted because both of them were vetted by the CFR before the election began. So you got to choose one or the other of the people the CFR wanted there to control your lives. That's how it's done. The first election we have had that the CFR didn't control every contestant was in 2016. And they've been yelling about it ever since. This party, that opposing party that calls themselves a party of the United States, which really isn't, it's a party of the communist organization, it's a party of the world globalists, it's a party of destroy the United States. That's what it is. Don't even think it's not. That's what it is. Those people and all of the other Republicans who were running were all vetted by the CFR. Since the wrong guy got in, all of those other people have been doing all they could to destroy him and us, but they got to get rid of him first. Look what's happened to this election cycle. It was planned back in March when they started talking about absentee ballots, mail-in ballots. They took absentee ballots, which servicemen did. I did an absentee ballot for years. I was in the service for 20 years. I did one every year, okay? I did that. That was a normal. But now they've taken that concept and they've melded it into, oh, you're at home. You can't go vote. You'll get sick. Oh, no, no. So let's get absentee ballots so that you don't have to go stand in a line because you might get sick. Oh, no. We're 6 feet apart. Oh, by the way, that video I've been sending out to everybody with Dr. Merrill, she points out very clearly that the disease, if we had this disease, the virus that we do have, it's not been named. It's a new virus, and that's been named. That virus that we do had doesn't travel 6 feet. It travels 26 feet. So if you got to have proper distancing, you can't get any closer than 26 feet from the person you're talking to. Better get a bullhorn so you can get that done. Folks, you've been conned. You've been conned. Why are you still wearing those damn masks? Why do you still wear diapers on your face? Nobody's asked me to speak to an audience recently, and I think that's a good thing, because the first sentence I will say is, get those diapers off your face or I'm going home. I want to know who I'm talking to. Guys, get those things off your face. Do it. That's a demonstration that you're willing to be controlled. That's all it is. It's a demonstration you're willing to be controlled. If you're willing to be controlled, go ahead and wear it and move into the ghetto that will be established as your home. And you can see what it's going to be when you watch Dr. Zhivago. And you must watch Dr. Zhivago. Don't just say that I don't just teach books. I sell concepts. Dr. Zhivago is a concept you must know, because that's how you're going to live. You ought to get the history so you can see it. Boy, I'm really carried away, aren't I, today? Absolutely. It's time to get carried away. Folks, I'm not the only one, but I'm the only one speaking as loud as I am. No, I guess not. There's a whole bunch of people, but nobody's listening. No, a lot of people are listening, but a lot of those people listening aren't paying attention. You understand this, folks? This is what we're faced. Doug's talked about being able to predict something from some things that he saw. Folks, I knew what was going on in January. The first time I heard about this hoax, and I knew it was a hoax then. I knew what was happening. Now, I buy food to keep in my home so I will have stuff to have. The question is, when did I make my first purchase? January. Nobody else made their first purchase until March. I was done. I knew what was going to happen. Folks, it has. I knew that we wouldn't have a president elected on election day, and it happened. Everybody knew that was looking, watching, though. I said we're going to use the 20th Amendment. Looks like they might be going to use the 12th Amendment, but that may not even happen. If that doesn't work, guess where we are? We're back to the 20th Amendment. 20th Amendment guys looming out there, and nobody's talking about it. They're talking about the 12th now. Oh, let's get the 12th out. And by the way, the 12th Amendment is proper. It is right to use that. If we get to the point where the 12th Amendment is, it would go like this. It would say the Supreme Court, the case has got to get to the Supreme Court, because even though they don't have the authority, they're the only ones that will make a decision, or that can make a decision that will head the nation in a direction, because we all want them to have laws. Of course, it doesn't say that. The Constitution says legislature passes laws and nobody else does. But we believe that the president signs executive orders and there's laws. And we believe every decision coming out of the Supreme Court is law. So anything those nine people say is law. None of them are prejudiced. They all know exactly what the Constitution says, and they know exactly how to interpret it, and they never make a mistake. So anything they do is a law, and so you got to abide by it. We call them the 12 emperors, the nine emperors. Oh, they're going to pack the Supreme Court, they say. Guy, there's no limit to the number of the Supreme Court. You can have 51 people in it. You should have an odd number. The Constitution doesn't give a limit, so you can have any number you want in it. So it's not bad to pack the Supreme Court. What it really means is, let's put people in that will screw the American people. Let's get as many people in there that will write laws that the American people will put up with. Let's get as many people in there that will say what we want said officially. That's what packing the court really means. It doesn't mean a number. It means a kind of people. You know, I said this yesterday on Patrick Timpone's show, that lady that stands there with a scale on one side and blinders on the other and the law on the other hand. You know that lady, and she has a blindfold on. She's thrown the blindfold away, the scale away, and the book away, and now she stands in the Supreme Court doing what the politicians want her to do. So that's a very nice.
So in other words, she's a prostitute.
Yes, that's a very nice fiction. She's been bought. You know, this stupid Supreme Court, the stupid court. Come on, they will not let you have in a public place anything to do with the Ten Commandments or God. Yet, on their building, the Ten Commandments is listed. On their building, Moses holding up the Ten Commandments. It's in the structure. It's above it in the structure. You can't have it, but they can. You know these organizations in the Congress open with prayer, but you better not do it in school. Where's the hypocrisy here, you guys? Have you picked out what's going on? This is not new. All this we have dates of the 1960s when the schools began to get torn apart. We have dates when we had a kid shoot some kids in school in Columbine in Colorado, and all of a sudden now we have to have guards. The school, everybody has to have. Oh my, you can't get into the schools. Oh dear me. Oh my, and the things they've turned the schools into. I hate to even go into a school. I don't know how the kids stand it. I don't know why the parents let their kids go there. In fact, force them to go there. Make them go there. Tell them to go there. Go to school. Don't be late. Go to the indoctrination center. Don't be late. I don't want you to miss out on any new indoctrinations. I don't want you to miss out on any new concepts that I can't teach you, or I don't teach you because I know they're criminal, but they can, because they can do anything like that they want. And they do. You can't have the Bible in school, but you can't have the Quran. You can't teach Christian things, but you can teach kids to wear turbans, Quran stuff, and study the Quran and give analysis of Allah. Allah Akbar. Allah is great. I didn't say it precisely correct, but that's what it is. Allah is great. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. That's the sentence said in Turkey that says, Allah, help me while I'm traveling. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. That's said correctly. Folks, we can do that in school. You can't do Christianity in school. You can teach witchcraft in school. You can teach illicit sex in school, but you can't teach Christianity, and you can't teach morals. And you're sending your kids to that on purpose and encouraging them to go? Ugh. I wrote two books to fill a big lack in the homeschooling industry. but it's inconvenient. Oh, I got to go to work because I got to make money so we can have a new TV. Oh, we got to have all these nice things. Got to buy a new car. Got to go to work, get a new car. Oh, my. Got to have these things. Oh, yeah. It's got to have the best house in the neighborhood. Got to buy the newest thing. Got to buy that. Got to buy the other. So I got to have a job that will do that. Yes, I got to have it. Oh.
Well, hey, you know what? Since you brought that up, isn't it interesting that the World Economic Forum, the agenda, the new agenda, the Great Global Reset, what they're going for? You're not going to own anything.
Yes.
You're not going to, you won't own anything. Imagine the world where you own nothing. You just use it. Imagine where you don't own property. You don't own a car. You don't own a stove. You don't own a couch. Oh, you know what? It's going to be so much flipping easier. No more rental payments on your sofa. I'm kidding.
Well, that's right. No, you're not kidding. That's coming.
Maybe
it's called the debt reset.
Yeah.
That's one part of it. The debt reset. The other is, I don't remember exactly. It's another reset that means the same thing. It's just advanced beyond just money.
Yeah.
And that was, by the way, that's one of the pieces in the documents that I found on the Premier in Canada's program, the debt reset.
Yep.
And this is what they said. They said this is in the Planning Commission, the Strategic Planning Commission in Canada, chaired by the Prime Minister's office. This is what they said. We'll have a debt reset and we'll have injections. We'll have these things, by the way. We're planning to have them. They give dates in this, or approximate dates. Now, when we do the debt reset, some won't do it. And some won't take the injection. So what we'll do is we'll keep track of those people who won't do it. And we will take those people and put them in an isolation camp. They'll be sick, you know, so we have to isolate them from everybody else because they're going to have a sickness that's going to get to everybody else. And we got to save everybody from the sickness that they have. So they'll be put in an isolation camp. Now, all you have to do to get out of the isolation camp, this is in the planning. This is in their words. All you have to do to get out of it is take the shot and accept a debt restructuring. The debt reset. That's all you got to do. And if you don't do that, you're indefinitely in the isolation camp. Indefinitely. And we'll confiscate your property. Oh, by the way, the debt reset confiscates your property. So, and the isolation camp will confiscate your property. Well, where's the win? There's no win here at all. The government is preparing to follow suit. Dr. Zhivago, watch the blasted movie. Don't leave it till the last, till the credits appear in the end. Watch the bloomin' movie. You'll enjoy it. Maybe. Of course, if you treat it as prophecy, you won't enjoy it. You'll say, oops, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now? Well, what you're going to do now is you're going to learn what it takes. You're going to buy the materials it takes to learn how to stop it. I send things out every week, don't I? Almost every week, I got something new to mail out. I'm getting tired of doing that. That's a big burden on me to mail all this stuff out to you guys. I don't mind, though, because I want you to have the information. This lawsuit is available so you can easily get to the 51-minute thing so that you can discover how to sue, take these people to court, and shut it down. Shut this bad pandemic thing down. Shut this thing. Shut all these lockdowns down. Shut it down and save your country. People say, what can I do? You can get the information about this lawsuit. You can do what the man says. Don't sit around and say, oh, woe is me. What can I do? You know, I had people asking me this very question. And this was clear back in the summer. Clear back in July and clear back in May and June. What can I do? And in those days, I said, organize a militia. And I said it over and over and over. I sent out information about the militia. I sent out how to form one. I sent out the steps to take one step at a time. Do this step, then this one, then this one, then this one, then this one. And you've got one. I even explained to people if your state won't do one, how you can do it, what the authority is, how it can be done. And we're everybody in the country's got a militia, right? Today, yeah. those same people who say, no, what can I do? What can I do? Well, if you'd have done the damn stuff I mentioned 6 months ago, you'd have somebody with you to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get really upset then?
I hope so.
Yes.
You deserve it.
I'm tired of you guys saying, what can I do? I get these things every day. What can I do? Well, you can do something. Today, I'm saying get the lawsuit information. Don't tell me in January, what can I do if you don't do something now?
What can I do is so 2017-ish, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you. By the way, thank you for making that available. And you're right, because we're at a point now where if you haven't read a history book, or if you don't have a history book in your house ordered yet, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with you. I say that genuinely. With compassion. And this saving the Constitution, for example, you know, you can hear, for example, Steve Bannon on the War Room talk and talk about, well, the, dates when the electors meet. But if you had this book, it's right here in this book, the 12th Amendment. And it's interesting because you write, this amendment is very long and very few people ever review it. Okay. Despite its length, it really does only one thing. It changes the requirement of the Electoral College members to nominate one person for president, one person for vice president instead of two people for president. But then you go on and explain about the Electoral College in this as well as the Liberty series. So why is that important? Because you better know what you're fighting for. You better know what you're fighting for. You better know how to fight and I'm not talking about a fist fight or a street fight. I'm talking about a fight. You know what I mean? I'm talking about knowledge. We're not going to win, but with a lack of knowledge, right? Am I right on that? I mean, we can't win if we don't know what we're fighting, how we need to fight. Those people want to go the legal route. Here it is. Did I miss anything? I mean, does that make sense?
You know, I mentioned something, Doug. Yesterday, I was talking to some people about this very book, talking about selling it and whatnot. And the young lady said to me, Richard, you're giving that book away. Stop it. You need to reprice that book. You know what she told me to price that book at? $59.95. Get busy and price it where it's worth. Get busy. You're telling people it's not worth enough because you don't charge enough. And I said, well, the reason I don't charge enough is because I want people to be able to afford it. Well, they don't care. They're not going to buy it. It's too cheap. Make it $59.95 so people will understand it has value.
All right, folks.
That was her precise sentence.
Here's the deal, okay? If you don't buy this by Saving the Constitution this week, I'm going to buy a box of them and sell them for $59.95 right here at the website. And I'll price Richard. So,
yes, you'll sell more than I do because it's now valuable. You put $59.95 on it. It's now valuable. It's not valuable unless there's enough money.
I got to tell you something. I knew a tavern owner. This is years ago now. Years ago, right near the stadium where the Buffalo Bills play. Okay. And I'm going to tell you this story. You can decipher what it means, Richard. I don't know what it means, but she had a connection at the where you buy fresh shrimp. Okay. For shrimp cocktail. And she would serve this shrimp cocktail. Beautiful, huge shrimp. And she'd have six around the glass with the cocktail sauce. And I mean, these shrimp were like mini lobsters and they were fresh. And she would sell it for, I think at that time it was like $4.99 or something. It was just ridiculously low priced. The problem was, I mean, and her bar was, the tavern was packed, but people weren't buying that $4.99 for the shrimp. So here's what she did. And this is a true story. Again, I don't know the moral of this story. Maybe you can help me on this based on what you just told me. She said, all right, to the shrimp dealer, I need smaller shrimp. Just the same amount, but smaller shrimp. She took the smaller size shrimp, cut back two in number around the glass, and raised the price $3. She couldn't keep them in stock. I don't know what the moral of that story is, but there's got to be some in there. It's got to be a moral in there somewhere.
You know what I think the moral of that story is? If I gave the book away free, nobody would want it.
That's right.
Nobody would want it because there's no value in it.
That's right.
If I gave it away free, you know, I'd like to have a tan like you, like than a sunburn like I have today.
I'll swap you. You know, seriously, people say, "Oh man, you look like you've got jaundice. You got a liver problem." I get emails like that. Like who cares what the hell I look like? I don't know what the color, but we have a problem with our colors. I don't know. You know, we can't afford broadcast level studio, you know, equipment. So sorry.
Anyway, neither can I. I work in a beautiful room. You can see it behind me. And I have lighting like you can't believe. It's perfect. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars to set up this studio.
You know, I have actually there are people that are commenting on the luxurious home that you have. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm putting an addition on it to add to it to make it even nicer. Yes. This is just a little snippet of how my home looks.
Yeah. Yeah. And. So, folks, the moral of that story is he might look like he's got a sunburn. I might look like I got jaundice. Deal with it. It's the information. You know,
But you see, if I didn't wear nice clothes, somewhat nice, not really great, not nice, nearly as nice as you do, but if I didn't do that and I took away my background and just showed the back wall where I am,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't bother to shave and I didn't look like this and I didn't comb my hair, nobody would listen to me. Absolutely no one would listen to me.
You know, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you're just like 100 years older than I am. But I'm kidding.
Well, close. I'm coming on 195 any minute.
Yeah. But I think, what I really believe is I believe in the value of the information, but I also believe that we approach it with a level of respect that it deserves. You know, it's one thing it's kind of like President Reagan in the Oval Office. He never went in the Oval Office without his sport or suit jacket and tie on. He never went in there in sweats like Clinton did. He never went in there with a burqa or with a hijab like and a burqa and a turban and, you know, like
that other guy.
Yeah, Barry did. Or with Larry Sinclair, on, you know, tagging along. Never mind, folks. But, you know, yeah, it's about respect, I think. Respect of our audience. I think that's what
it is. Yes, it is. And I don't mean that facetiously. I believe that we look at the environment subconsciously. We look at what we're looking at, and we grade it subconsciously, no matter what everybody intends. I mean, I have a brother-in-law, okay? He decided when he didn't have to be official anymore, he's going to grow a beard. It is the most scraggly, terribly looking thing I have ever seen. He would fit right in just under the freeway bridge, living there with his cart. It's scraggly. It's terrible. I went to a hospital looking for his wife. I didn't know what room she was in, and I walked by a room with a scraggly, unkempt individual who looked like he just came in off the beat wagon. And I says, "Oh, I know where Darlene is. She's right in there." She was in there with that scraggly beat off the beat wagon guy. He looks terrible. And that's the respect he's getting too, by the way. Oh, people pretend like it's not, but it is.
Yeah. Yes. But you know, again, I assert that if I'm asked, or if I believe, our audience, the people who listen and watch you, for example, and the people who listen and watch me, I've got enough respect for them, and myself, but for them, not to show up in a t-shirt and jeans. I mean, if I'm painting a room, I'll show up in t-shirt and jeans. Or if I'm building a house, I'll do that. But I have enough respect for the listener and viewer. Because the information, and folks, again, it all comes back down to things like this, saving the Constitution and the Liberty Series. You might think, well, how do you make that leap from what you're wearing to this book? You know, think about this. We're talking about the most precious document, the Constitution, the most precious document of our country. It's kind of like the Oval Office of books, right? I guess. Let's discuss this. Let's discuss this with some respect. Let's use some respect as we discuss it. You know, the ceremonial, garments that priests or rabbis or ministers wear, they do that for a reason. It's not just because it's ceremonial or customary. It's because there's a level of respect there. So anyway, but thank you for that. Thank you for all that.
I didn't mean to talk about non-respect. I just meant to talk about that subconscious that we give value to that which we see is valuable.
But you know, I think it's tied together, don't you? I mean,
yes, I do. And the respect is tied together.
Yeah.
I give value to you by trying to do the best I can when I appear on your show.
You do well. I mean, and look, you know, I've had people, I don't know, you know, Steve Bannon, for example, everyone knows who Steve Bannon is. I like the guy, but he does his show in kind of like a army coat and open collar shirt and, you know, his hair's flopping every which way. And I mean, God bless the guy. Okay. He can pull it off. Probably number one, because, you know, he's got a huge audience. He's the 30th most listened to broadcast in the world. But I don't know. I don't know. Some people can do it. Some people can't.
Let's move on. Let's move on to the 12th Amendment.
All right.
Let's talk about that, because that's the thing of today. Let's talk about the 12th Amendment. The folks are saying I'm going to use the book itself, the Constitution itself. We're going to talk with that. So, you know, I usually like to use the Constitution itself because that's what we're doing. We're in Article 2 of the Constitution itself. Now, by the way, if we turn to the 12th Amendment, which is what I just said, let's do that. I'll just point out the differences. So let's just go to the 12th Amendment instead of that. That's the 14th. We don't want to talk about the 14th. We want to talk about the 12th. There it is. The 12th Amendment. It's a long amendment. One of the longest in the amendment business. Anyway, the 12th Amendment is the backstop, if you will. It's not supposed to be, but it is. The backstop is if we cannot get the thing done properly. That's how it's being described. And that's a good way to call it. Here we've got an amendment written, ratified in, let me see, what does it say? Ratified June the 15th of 1804. June the 15th of 1804. Okay. The 12th Amendment changed. No, let's not worry about change. Let's see what it says to do. First, and by the way, I don't mean to keep backing up here. It is possible, maybe not likely, but it is possible if enough people knew this and they made enough noise in their states. Now, I'm not talking about just one or two. I'm talking about thousands. If they made enough noise in their state, it is possible this year to use the Electoral College properly. It is possible. This is the only year I've ever seen that it is, but this year it is because everybody's talking about it. So let's talk about what the 12th Amendment really says. And maybe if enough people wanted it and understood it, they might get it done. We might actually have the the fourth election in the United States that ever followed it. The fourth election. Two with Washington, one with Adams, and one with Trump. The fourth time. So let's talk about what it says. First, we know the electors are selected by the legislature of the state in any manner they choose. Okay? That we know. That's established already. These electors, what are they supposed to do? Now, everybody thinks they're supposed to meet and they're supposed to vote how the popular election went in their state. But let's pretend like we understand the Constitution and we want to make it right. So we would ask these electors, we would ask for the state to select electors, real ones now, not the ones that they've been selecting to go back to Washington, D.C. No, not those. Some electors based on their representation in Congress, okay, just the same way, they'll be, our state will have six. Everything correctly, the way it says in the Constitution, okay, so you select six electors. Now, these electors are selected in a way that they're apart from all of this wild voting that's been going on. We're gonna ask these electors to literally do the job right. Okay? So the electors will meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom shall not be an inhabitant of their state. Both cannot be, but one has to be outside their state. But they can both be outside their state. They shall name in their ballot the person they want as president, and in another distinct ballot, the person they want as vice president. Now, that's the change from the Constitution, but let's not worry about it, because all that is saying they're going to select two and put them on a different list rather than the same list. Don't worry about it. If we just did this, the 12th Amendment everybody's talking about, so you select your electors. Utah, we have six. They meet on the day they're supposed to meet, but they don't meet in Washington, D.C., where the other electors are meeting. They meet in the state where it really happens. That's where it's supposed to be. They meet in the state where they live, okay? They meet in their respective states. That's in the ninth, tenth words about. So they're going to meet here in Utah. I don't care where. These six people will meet together. And they will make two ballots, one for president and one for vice president. Then the state, Secretary of State, will take those six ballots, actually 12 now, those 12 ballots, and they'll stack them for president and vice president side by side. They'll tally them, and they'll put the tally, and probably the votes too, but for California, that's 55, so that's 57, and that's a lot of stuff. So they'll at least tally it. They'll tally who those electors voted for. Now, in today's situation, I would hope that they would select the current people that are running for office that we've been voting for. But that won't be required. But I would hope they would do that. They should select one for president, and one for vice president, and write it down. Then the state will send those, transmit that to the Congress officially. Now the Congress will receive these sealed envelopes. Senate pro tem will receive these sealed envelopes. And he'll put them in a stack, and I hope he has 50. Okay. Now, this is the real Electoral College, not the one that's going to meet in Washington, that's going to bang around and everybody's going to be prejudiced and do this and do that, say vote for this, vote for that. All this stuff will kill you if you don't vote right. Oh, on and on and on and on. No, no, not that group in Washington that's under that dress. These are people in Utah, six of them. And I don't know how many you've got in each state, but each state would have their number and they would vote for two people, one for president, one for vice president. It'd be put together and sent to the Senate. The Senate would receive these and put them in a stack. Senate pro tem now. Put them in a stack and not open them. They're sealed. He doesn't open them. Then there'll be a day sometime after they're all there. They have all 50 of them. There'll be that day, and then the House and the Senate will meet in a group together. A group together. Okay? They'll unite in one group of people. So there'll be 435. Is that right? 435? No, that's not right.
No.
It'd be 455.
Yep.
455.
Wait. It'd
be 455 people in the room, all the senators and all the representatives.
Okay.
12. Yeah. I mean, 100. Well, yeah, 100 and 435. There'll be 535 people in this room.
Right.
And now the secretary of the Senate could be of the House, doesn't matter, whoever they choose. The secretary of one of those two bodies would stand up in front with a chalkboard, big old chalkboard, a dry erase board is what they'd use today. That's okay. And then the Senate pro tem would open them in the presence of everybody. He'd open them. He'd open these envelopes. And it'd say, state of Utah votes. These are the totals. Vice President, 6 for Pence. President, 6 for Trump. And they'd have two columns, Vice President column and President column. And we'd be now creating a list, you see. They'd have the column and Utah would be marked off and their votes would be 6 and 6. Or however the Electoral College chose, but I would recommend that they kind of choose who's there now, because we got to have as little difficulty as we can. But anyway, so that's that. And here would go Idaho, and here would go Oregon, and here would go California, and New York would even let those guys open, have their Electoral College vote, open them too. And they'd open all of them, and they'd write all these names down, and some for Biden, and some for Trump, and some for Pence, and some for that other lady, who's not a citizen of the country, so she shouldn't even be on the list. But anyway, she is. Oh, my. Anyway, I'll get off that. They'll make a list, and they'll have votes. At the end, we're going to look first at the presidential vote session. Now, let me read you what it says precisely they're going to do. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president, under the condition if such number be a majority of the whole number of the electors. So now, the whole number of the electors is 535 doubled, 1,070. That's the number, 1,070. Okay, that's the total number of electors. You see, one for each person that's there. And there'll be 100. So the way it's happening now is we would have 535. There'd be 535 votes for president and 535 votes for vice president, because every elector will vote for one or the other, and that would be the list being formed. So now they'd look at the 535 that were for president. Okay, then they would say, okay, now, if such number be a majority of the whole number of the electors. So what's a majority of the whole number of electors? 535 divided by 2, that's where the 270 comes from, by
correct.
The way.
Yes.
See, that's where the 270 comes from. So if Trump has 270 or more, then he is the president. There's no more questions. If he does not have 270 or more, these are individual votes, not politician, not big people, not this big thing, not popular, nothing. They are Electoral College members who have cast ballots like 12th Amendment says. They're talking about this going to the House to be decided. Let's get the proper list there for them to choose from. So then they go there, and they'll be, if he has more than 500, more than half of 535 or more than 270, then he's the president because he has more than a majority of the list. But if enough people vote for Biden, then he won't have enough. Perhaps he would have 200. Then we'll look over and see Biden's list, and perhaps he would have, maybe let's put a third person in there, because that's what this is supposed to have. Somebody in one of the other states or one of the places didn't vote for president for Trump or Biden. They're not compelled to. They could vote for who they wanted. So let's put Mary up there.
Those are called faithless electors, by the way. That's where you hear that term from. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Okay.
Okay, anyway, so we have 535 electors voting. We have 270 is the middle point for the majority. But we have Trump, we have Biden, we have Mary, and we have Bill. Okay? Now, Bill, he got 100 votes. And Mary got 125 votes. So that means that I got to get my calculator. Give me a second. Got to have a calculator here. I'm trying to do this right. 125 plus 100. That leaves 225 votes split between Trump and Biden. And Biden gets 100 of those. And Trump gets 100. Well, let's see. Biden gets, let me change these numbers around a little bit so it will sound a little bit better. I don't want it to be weird. It's turning out to be weird. Okay. We're going to have Mary. She's going to get 50 electoral votes and Bill is going to get 55. So that total now is 105. So 105 subtracted from 535 leaves 430. And Trump is going to get of that number 230. Yeah, 230, and Biden gets 200. All right. Now we don't have a majority, do we? 230 isn't 270.
Right.
See, so it didn't reach that point. So now we're working at 230 and 200. So let's see what it says. If such a number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if no person shall have such a majority, that's what we have, then the highest numbers not exceeding 3 on the list for those voted for as president. Now, that's been done. That's not according to the Constitution. But anyway, okay, we're going to do what this says precisely. The whole number of electors appointed, if no person shall have a majority, and a majority is 270, and that's what we don't have here, then from the persons having the highest numbers, not exceeding 3 on the list. So the highest numbers will be Trump, Biden, and Bill. 230, 255. Okay? Now see, we can't include Mary because she's more than 3, because that's what it says here, not exceeding 3. So 3 are selected. That's what it says. I'm doing it exactly what it says. Now, the House of Representatives shall choose immediately by ballot the president. Now they're not looking at the 230, 255 anymore. That's just decided who the top 3 are. So now this is what it says. Shall choose immediately by ballot the House of Representatives. There's 435. They choose by ballot the president. But in choosing the president, the vote shall be taken by state, not by member, and from each state having one vote. So each state has one vote. So there are 50 states represented by these 535. There are 50 states represented in the House. And so they're going to have 50 states voting. And they're going to choose, those 50 states are going to choose whether they want Biden, whether they want Trump, or whether they want Bill. They get to choose it. It's nothing to do with the previous stuff. So there are 50 states, and these guys decide in their wisdom that they're going to give Trump, I'm partial here, by the way, they're going to give Trump 35. They're going to give Biden 25. Oh, that's too many already. Can't do that. That's too many.
60.
Okay. That's 60 already. We can't go above 50. So Trump's going to get, 25. Biden's going to get 15. And Bill is going to get 10. Okay? Now they have selected the president by state. 25 for Trump, 15 for Biden, 10 for Bill. It's got nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats and anything else. It's only to do with state voting for the top 3 that came from the electors. That's how it would work. So Trump then would be president with 25 states selected, and Biden would have 15 and Bill has 10. That's what this 12th Amendment says. That is precisely what should happen. And done that way, it is precisely constitutional. The only difference that I just said was I said that we're going to have different electors meeting in their state and making these choices between Trump and making these choices. And the four people they chose were Trump, Biden, Mary, and Bill. That's all fictitious. Today we have real people. We have Trump and Biden running for president. So there's two there. They didn't get 270 electoral votes that were not challenged by fraud. Okay. So now we're at the House of Representatives and the 12th Amendment. So then they'll tally they won't tally the votes by fraud. No. Each state will select who they want as president. Each state, one vote per state. How each state chooses that one doesn't matter. That's their choice. But they get to choose one. And when we finish, Trump has 25 states selected, Biden has 15, and Bill has 10. Therefore, Trump is now president on 25 votes by the House of Representatives based on the number of states that the House of Representatives has, which is 50. Do you see how it works, guys? That's how it's supposed to be done. Did you also notice that since we did that with the Electoral College properly, nobody was running for president? You didn't ever heard of Mary and Bill before, did you? But these people in the varying states thought Mary and Bill would do a good job as president. So they chose them. They didn't run for president. They chose them to be president. Nobody's running for president. And Trump and Biden, they were both chosen by people in these places to be president. Four people were chosen. Nobody ran for president. There wasn't $10 billion, $100 billion spent trying to get people to choose a popular person. The Electoral College has chosen people they think would be good presidents. They've read the requirements, and they know that you have to be a natural-born citizen, you have to be 35, you have to be 14 years in the country. They know all the 14-year citizen. They know. You have to be a natural-born citizen, you have to be 35. Forget that last sentence. There's something to do with that in the original Constitution because there were people who were not natural-born on that first time. But anyway, we know they've met all the requirements. They are natural-born, okay? And they are over 35. Here we go. And they are a citizen of the country. That's an important piece.
And this is for president only, not
yes,
any
Yes, president
tickets.
Only. We haven't done anything right. with vice president yet.
Right. Okay.
Now it says, okay, we're done. But in choosing the president, the vote shall be taken by states. We did that already. Now it's finished. Now, a quorum has to be present consisting of the members of the two-thirds of the states. But we're assuming they're all there. Okay, now, here we go. We finished the president. That's done. Now we're going to go into the vice president. That's the next step, folks. The person having the greatest number of votes as vice president shall be vice president if that number exceeds the majority. So it's exactly the same procedure for vice president. Exactly the same. There are four people. We won't have Harris because Harris isn't a citizen, and all of the Electoral College people know that you have to be a citizen. So she won't be there. So Pence will be there, and Bill won't be there either because he's been voted for president, so he can't be on that. And Trump can't be there either, but Pence can be. So Pence is there, and we have Jim, Susan, and Larry on the list. And exactly the same thing will go with Pence, Susan, Jim, and Larry. And they will do exactly the same. 230 votes, have to have 270. They didn't get 270. They got some number less than that, but none of them got a majority. So then we had to go by state back to it. This time, such a majority, if no person shall have a majority, then from the two highest now, we're on three, members on the list, the Senate shall choose the vice president. So now they're going to have Pence, and they're going to have Larry. Okay, they're the two that got ahead. And so those two, and they're going to do state voting just the same. And Pence will get his number, and Larry will get his number. And the total will add up to 50. And Pence will have 45, and Larry will get 5, because that's how the House wanted to vote. That's how the Senate wanted to vote. So now we have 45 for Pence and 5 for Larry. So Pence is president. But he didn't run for president. He didn't run out, and nobody's ever heard of Larry before. He didn't run for president. These people were selected by their electors when they met in December on their day in their state. And that's how it's done.
Did you mean vice president?
Yes, I meant vice president the second time. Please. Did I say wrong?
Yeah, you said president. But that's, I mean, I think people know.
Keep the two straight, guys. Please keep the two straight. When I'm talking about president, I say president. When I'm talking about vice president, I say president, senator, vice president, garbage collector, who knows? Just keep them straight.
Now, I have a question when you're ready for questions.
I'm ready now because it's finished. It's over.
Okay.
And it's been a quiet election. We have done a good job. It's finished and it's proper. Go ahead.
Okay. So I've got about three or four questions. The first question I have, this would occur or would this occur if the states fail to certify their election results, which really kind of.
No, we could say that, but I think really this would occur because we have proven in court there are so many states with fraudulent votes that the Senate Supreme Court has said, we can't recount all this garbage. We're going to nullify this vote, and it goes to the 12th Amendment.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. And you answered that question brilliantly. Oh, okay. So the next question would be, given the situation as it is in today's world, you've got President Trump and Vice President Pence. You've got PPAS and NEPAS, Biden and Harris. Harris not being a natural born citizen.
Not being a citizen, thank you.
Okay. Would, in your view, would the electors say, whoa, we can't have this? Would they do that?
No, today the electors that are meeting in Washington, D.C. won't say that. The electors meeting in the state who are really looking at it will. Because so, they'll be looking at the rules.
That's going to come at the state level.
Yes. Not the federal, not the one in Washington. That's why I separated the two electoral college groups.
Right.
One of them is in the state doing it properly. The other one is in Washington, D.C., with politics throwing everything around in a skiwampus thing.
Got it.
The one in the states is just doing it properly, quietly. They're just doing it right, like it's supposed to be. That's what the 12th Amendment says. That's exactly what the 12th Amendment says. So let's do that. Like I said at the beginning, this is one time where it is possible, the fourth time in the history of this country, where it is possible to use the proper method for voting for the president, for electing, selecting the president. This is the first time in, the fourth time in history that that's available. Let's do it.
May I ask?
Yes.
Obviously. Three other times. Do you recall those three other times off the top of your head?
Oh, yes. 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 Washington's first election, Washington's second election, Adams' first election. The years of 1796, 1792, and 1788.
Makes sense. Actually, it does make sense. Of course, the numbers were not the same, but yes.
No. But that is exactly this. I wanted to put it in today's vernacular, but do it exactly the way the Constitution says. And the 12th Amendment says, by the way, the only difference between these is the states only prepared one list, not two. That's the only difference. Everything else fits and everything is done properly. And we come up with a proper president and a proper vice president. Without politics, without parties, just honest, true statesmen who these electors in their states feel would do a good job.
Professor, final question from your student. What do you think the possibility of that taking place in 2020 will be?
Zero.
Okay.
But I thought I'd outline it.
Oh, but why zero? I mean, seriously.
Because our people, yours and my people that live in this country, the 330 million people, those are not all voters, but the people in our country aren't going to stand for it because they feel that they got to vote for the president, they got to vote for the vice president, and that's their choice.
But they might not, but we, the people, might not have, when I say we, the people, I'm talking about the objectors to this. That's following the Constitution, though. Wait a
Precisely.
Minute. We're following the Constitution, folks. That's why this book is so important. And every person in Congress should have this book on their bookshelf and have read it and understood it. But who cares? I mean, American people aren't going to stand for it. That's following the rules.
I know, but you see, we've been conditioned. We've been brainwashed. We got to have our one vote for president. We all get to vote. We all get to vote. We all get to vote. Everybody, every citizen gets to vote. And every non-citizen that can fake it gets to vote. Everybody gets to vote.
Well, that's
a
democracy.
We count all those votes. And then in today's environment, if the right number of votes don't come in, we change the machine so that we get the right number of votes. That's what's going on today. That's what's going on today. So it goes, because of that, it goes to the 12th Amendment. Because the Supreme Court puts their foot down and say, we're not going to have a president elected by fraud. So we're going to go to the 12th Amendment. It's going to be done there. And so if everybody get out their 12th Amendment, and they won't have a list for the either place, but they will have two people running for president and two people running for vice president. And that will be their list to choose from.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to over-talk you.
And they would do what this says by state. That's what they're talking about doing exactly.
Right.
In this case, everybody will vote by party, and Trump will win 30 states, and Biden will win the other 20 or whatever the thing is. And so he'll be president because that's the political situation. And Pence will win the same way in the Senate.
Yeah, it's 37 and 23.
Political situation with the parties.
Or I'm sorry, 37 and 13, I believe.
Whatever the numbers are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. Wow. But okay. But in order to get to the 12th Amendment, you've got to have it propelled there by lack of, well, but through the Supreme Court, I should say, because of lack of.
Yes, we don't have 270 electoral college votes for anybody because all of this fake stuff.
Right.
So many states were eliminated from even being a part of it because of their fraud, literally fraud. So we've eliminated those states. And bingo, we can't get 270 votes anymore because there aren't enough states left.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes to the 12th Amendment.
Which is the tactic. Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I think that this is the time, honestly, when I'm looking at, when you're looking at people like Steve Bannon and others, this is, and Sidney Powell, this is a tactic, legitimate and I believe deserved tactic of President Trump's legal team to say, look, there's so much fraud here. You can't tell. There's no way to tell. There's no way to, so we've got to, yeah.
And you can't really redo a count the ballots over again because so much fraud has been mixed in it. So many dead people, so many people that have moved, all these kinds of things. So many votes were just thrown in there in the package. How are you going to decipher all of this? It would take decades. Well, not that long, take years to decipher all these millions of votes to make sure only proper votes were voted. You see, we haven't got the capability of doing that now. All the dead people that have voted, they're going to have to be not allowed. The dead people are going to have to go back to their graves. They can't vote. Sorry. And all the people that moved out of the state, that voted in another state and voted in this other state because they were on the rolls of one and they're on the rolls of two votes. We can't have them both voting twice. So all that's got to be done. And this is a humongous task to try to go back to what happened on the 3rd of November to choose exactly who voted for who properly, correctly, and legally.
Mm.
But we do have the scapegoat here, not the scapegoat, but rather the solution. You just say, void the whole thing. We can't possibly fix it. It's so bad. We send it to the 12th Amendment to Congress. That's not hard to do.
Amen to that. And I would hope, well, okay, rather than me postulate anything, I'll ask you. If that does happen, it's got to happen by December, I think December 14th or December 8th.
I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the legal Congress date. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so it's got to happen by that date, I believe.
So, yes, I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So to speculate, Professor, what do you think would happen if that happens? In other words, the electors say, okay, here's our votes. There are 37 states that have Republican legislatures.
Great.
Okay. So what do you think would happen then? Do you think that the American people, or the 73 or 71 million who voted for supposedly.
Oh, there'll be riots in the streets.
Yeah.
No. Even if we went to the Constitution and did it properly, which is what I would recommend, that the people in the country who Biden didn't get elected, they'd begin to tear the country apart. You know, the babies that have to have everything they want, if they don't get what they want, they throw a tantrum. They begin to tear the country apart, yes.
And that's why there has been such a war against the Electoral College. The left has said, we've got to get rid of the Electoral College and go to a straight democracy. Isn't that interesting?
Mm. Yeah, that's what it is, right? We're going to throw away the Republic and become a democracy. So we have to change the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the democracy of America.
Wow.
That's what they want. That's what they're asking for. Athens collapsed in a democracy. Democracy has collapsed every time. One works its way to dictatorship every time. So the brethren, these very fine, inspired people, said, we got to stop that. And this system came to them in inspiration. And it's perfect.
Divine inspiration, I would add. So, folks, instead of having to pay for a semester of higher learning, which you just got here right now, in my belief, was the equivalent of a semester of higher learning, and you would be charged probably, I don't know, several thousand dollars for that semester. Instead of making checks, although you could do this, make checks payable to Dr. Richard Proctor.
Yes, send them out to me. I just taught it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
I expect $1,000 per person.
There you go. Or how about buying his books?
Oh, they just bought one of these. They wouldn't have to send me $1,000.
There you go.
They'd have to text themselves.
Right? All right. So instead
those who don't buy it, I'm expecting a check. $1,000 a person.
That's right.
That's husband and wife, too, by the way. It's $2,000 a family.
Wow. Okay. So, and if anyone's 16 and older, or, you know, hey.
Well,
18
and older. 18, yeah, everyone 18 and older. I'm expecting 1,000 from each.
Okay.
Because I've taught this and it's precisely correct and it works.
So to avoid this, because we've captured, your IP addresses, we know your names and your addresses and all that. Eric the Tech's really good at that. Plus Apple and Google and Alphabet, they're helping us out too.
We know everybody who's watching. We do know everybody in the country. We know it.
Yeah.
So since we know it, we're going to send bills. Or we're just going to expect them, so we don't have to send bills. But those who don't send their money in are going to be dunned.
Or buy the book.
$20.
Yeah. Or Liberty Series too, which is really good.
Yeah, that would be excellent because you need the background also. Yep. But the book, That Saving the Constitution, is the most important book I've ever written. And I have 10. That's the most important. Followed by A Constitution If You Can Keep It for the Youth. Those two books.
We don't talk very much about that book with all the homeschooling going on right now. A Constitution If You Can Keep It, I think, would be a great book to have. If you're homeschooling a young person, I would definitely get that book.
When I'm reading from my book, I read from a keep rather than the saving book, because the keep book has a spiral binding and I can lay it out flat and read without having to fight the spine.
Yes.
So when I'm talking on this show and I read, I'm reading from A Constitution If You Can Keep It. Just thought I'd say that.
You know what? And get them both. Christmas is coming. All right. If you're tight on money and you do exchange gifts, a gift like that would be just tremendous. Go to provisinstitute.com, folks. Please do that. Hey, if you're going to spend money on Christmas gifts, give the gift of knowledge. If you're not going to buy bullets, beans, buy books. and that saving the Constitution is right up there, along with the Constitution, if you can keep it, as well as the Liberty Series. ProvisInstitute.com is the place to go, and it's on your screen. It'll also be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com with this program. So, man, you did. I tell you what, I love these. I love getting together and talking about this. This stuff is great.
I just know the Constitution.
Yeah.
Fairly well. Fairly well.
I think you do.
Just fairly well.
Yeah, four times. Yeah, can you tell me when those other three times were? Yes, 1788, 1792, and 1796. I think you know it very well.
Yeah, a little history helps, too, to know that kind of stuff. It's really tough to figure that out really quick. When you made that comment, I said, well, 1796, subtract 4, 1792, subtract 4, 1788 wasn't tough.
I seriously didn't know that. I mean, I think I kind of knew it, but I guess I really wasn't thinking about it, but, and it makes sense. Now, it wasn't the 12th Amendment then.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the 12th Amendment.
Right. But the process was the same. So
the process was correct.
Yes.
There was no 12th Amendment.
Yeah.
The 12th Amendment bastardized the process.
Exactly. At first I didn't understand that. And then as I read further in this book, Saving the Constitution, I didn't understand that. And I won't get into it, but, folks, again, Saving the Constitution, please do that, especially this time of year.
So. At least when the 12th Amendment was written, although it changed the Constitution and should therefore be deleted from the score, it did exactly the same thing that the real Constitution does. So I didn't mind reading from the 12th Amendment because it is exactly the same as the real Constitution, except in the number 3 instead of 5. It's 2 lists instead of 1. That's the only thing that changed. So I don't mind reading from it. The Senate did the decision for the vice president. The House does the decision for the president. It's exactly the same. So I don't mind that. The change is so minuscule that it isn't something that we should just jump up and down and yell and scream about. 2 lists instead of 1, 3 instead of 5. That's all. That's not enough to matter. But I won't teach that as correct.
Nor should you, because it's not.
I go through that today because I wanted specifically to use the 12th Amendment because that's being talked about. That's being pushed as the way to do it. And so I guess the situation we live in, we can't jump up and down and say, no, you got to go to the original Constitution. We get in an argument about which one to use. No, we don't want to get in that argument. We want to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So all I did was go to the 12th Amendment, did it exactly right, starting with a set of electors that are not going to be politicized, politicalized, whatever the right word is. They're going to be honest, true statesmen looking for honest, true people. That's where Mary, Bill, Susan, Larry, and Jim came from.
And I think, you know, you hear Mark Levin talking about this, you hear again, Steve Bannon, I reference, you hear Dan Bongino talking about this process. You folks, you just got a lesson in the process at that base granular level. And I think that, we needed that because when you hear this, it's important, at least I believe it's important when you hear this to understand what they're referencing. And sometimes I think, with the exception of maybe Mark Levin, I'm not sure the others really know the specific process as delineated by Dr. Professor, good friend, Richard Proctor. So there it is. We only have about 5 minutes left because I hogged the front of the
program. I want to just make one comment about what you just said.
Okay.
I hate to say this because I can't back it up and I hope it's not true.
Okay.
But there's a very good possibility that every one of these people that are talking about the 12th Amendment really only know that it goes to one vote per state and they don't know anything other than that.
Oh, it's a good point.
And I feel bad about that. They have any idea that there should be another set of electors start over. If you're really going to do the 12th Amendment, do it.
Right.
This is a time when it might, could be done. But you asked me how likely I thought 0, I think, is the right number.
Very interesting. And thanks for pointing that out. Yeah. which kind of, I don't want to say complicates things a little bit, but it clarifies things, but it causes a little bit of uneasiness there when we talk about it. So, wow.
Well, you know, when you talk about today, you've got to talk about today as today is.
Yes.
I don't believe that there should be a 16th Amendment. So if I were talking about taxes, I would throw that out and we'd have a whole different discussion. That would be proper. Mm-hmm. But if I've got to talk about taxes as they are right this minute, then I have to leave it in, and we need 501c3. But 501c3 is a bastard of the Constitution.
Right.
Sorry. It is.
I agree.
So, but we can't talk about not having it because it exists. Those are the rules of today. There are some people saying we're not going to have a 501c3 because it is wrong. They are right. They're right. It is wrong. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So we got to talk about where we are today. That's why I used the 12th Amendment. Exactly. Like it says, we read it from it. We followed it exactly.
And that's the thing too. Many Christian conservatives will write to me or will leave comments and saying, well, no sense talking about that because that's not applicable, or it shouldn't be there, so we're not going to talk about it. Whereas you say, wait a minute, it's there, so we have to talk about it. And I appreciate that tactic or that approach.
I can't say that we can't do it because it's not in the Constitution properly. I can't say that.
Right.
That's stupid. That'd be as stupid as that court of nine guys with black robes.
Right.
You got to work with where we are.
Yep.
Take your situation as it is, not as it might be theoretically. Now, I won't teach that in a classroom. I'll teach it properly. Then I'll also say, but we're not doing it properly, and it's only been done properly 3 times.
Wow, that's rather sad for sure. In the closing 2 minutes, sir, any words of wisdom as we wrap things up?
I really do. I'd like to wrap it up with your thoughts. So please, folks, do something constructive in this time of need, please. I know I got carried away, raised my voice, banged on the desk. I understand that. But guys, we've got to do something productive. And the most important thing, I think, is for you to get the education so you'll know what you are doing. And get this thing on the lawsuit that I will send out to anybody that asks. You must remember, I never send out anything to anybody who doesn't ask. I have a whole list of people who have been asking for things, but I won't send it out to anybody who doesn't ask. I want them to want it. They don't want it, I'm not going to send it.
Amen.
Anyway, so
you got to want it.
I talked to a young lady this week. She's in our state, has a position in the government. It was a county government, but it's in the government. And I said, and they're talking about all the problems they have with COVID. So I says, you know, you really don't have any. It doesn't exist. And I said, I have documentation here. I have videos. I have documentation from physicians that will explain to you exactly why it doesn't exist and what's going on. I'll send it to you if you want. No, I don't want. You have your opinion. I have mine. And that was the answer. I don't want. You have your opinion and I have mine.
How can we
possibly? I don't have an opinion here. The doctors who have the opinion, right. I'm just sending their information. Well, I do have an opinion because I agree with the doctors because I can see the honesty there. But they're the guys. They're the chiefs. Do what they say, not what I say. Just because I say what they say, do what they say. That's why I sent that out to everybody that asked for it. We send a lot of them out too. Somewhere near 400. That's the biggest group I've ever sent out.
Wow. Wow. And I'll bet you another 400 could have been sent. I know that there was an issue with, I had some issue and I don't recall what it was with, kind of a breakdown in communication, but, nonetheless, there it is. So thank you. Wow. I'll tell you what, we're in for some rocky, bumpy times. If it gets too bumpy, can I sleep in your back room? I'm kidding.
Yeah, I got space. I'm building an addition. You can sleep in the addition. It's be nice. You know, passionate after my office here. It'll really be nice. Doug, I appreciate
it. I appreciate you, and I know our audience does as well. Folks, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. The book is Saving the Constitution, as well as the Constitution, if you can keep it, for the teaching part, as well as the Liberty Series and Bathroom Economics. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. You better do it tonight. I'm telling you, because I'm watching you. We're watching you. Otherwise, you're gonna have to pay us a grand a head, right?
Yeah, you're going to get done $2,000 because you don't have the book.
That's right. That's right. And we know who you are.
That's the tuition.
Thank you, brother.
Take care.
All right. Steve Quayle tomorrow. Folks, have a good night. I am out of here. Good night.